And I just wanted to share a little bit this morning. We're going to do a two-part series, so I'm going to kick off this week. Heidi's going to talk next week about leadership in the church. And what we're going to be looking at over the next 2 weeks are these things: what biblical church leadership is, how it's different to worldly leadership, a scriptural view on gender and church leadership, qualifications for church leadership, and particularly what Heidi's going to pick up next week is what practical leadership in our church here looks like. So why now? Why are we doing this now? Well, as you're aware, we've got a fairly new leadership team in place. So Dave, who's just taken the youth out, Dave Neal, Oliver, who is in creche, honestly, servant leadership, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, okay, Oliver is in creche, Chris, and Heidi and myself. So Heidi and myself, we've been leading the church now just for a few years, and we've got a phenomenal leadership team around us. And we've been looking over the last couple of years, actually, about what leadership is in the church and working out what godly leadership looks like, and particularly what godly leadership looks like here for us in our context. We also have the absolute joy and privilege of having had this conversation with people like Jill and Steve Kirk from the Colpool Church in the Root, and also people like Vic and Jen Gledhill. Guys, these are people who laid the foundations for us. Foundations that we as a leadership team are now building on. They're our foundation layers. And we need to honour these guys. But actually, sometimes it can be a choppy water navigating what it looks like to raise up a new generation of leaders while honouring the contributions and place of those who have gone before. Those architects, those foundation layers. And it is a real privilege, actually, to be sat in a room with these guys, all of them, having godly conversations about leadership. We've also been talking about the fact that we are two congregations. We're a congregation here and we're a congregation over in Colpool, and what it looks like to be leadership team together. So this last Thursday evening, in between coming back from one and going off to the other, we had a leadership team meal with the guys from Colpool Church and the guys from Goldmine, and it was just good. You know, we just sat, we ate together, we talked together, we laughed together, we did life together as leaders. Because I don't believe God has finished with us yet as a church planting church. And whatever it is that we lay as foundations for leadership across our churches needs to be transferable into other settings that God calls us into. So over the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is understand a little more deeply about the godly privileges and responsibilities that come with being called by God to lead something in His church. And I want to emphasize that again. This is His church. And I'm not just talking about those in kind of senior leadership. I'm going to be talking about leadership in the church. We have so many people who lead in our family here. They serve and serve and serve on teams. I think we counted at one time, there was about 50 people on different teams leading things in our church. What a privilege that is, that we have such a servant-hearted culture in this church. But we want to talk about the privilege, the responsibility that comes with being called by God to lead something in his church. We want to navigate the scriptures and interpret what they say about leadership and how that applies to us today in our setting, which isn't always easy when they were written 2,000 years ago in a very different culture and a very different setting. But before I kind of talk about that, I just want to sort of talk a little bit about the church and about what the church is. I'm not going to go into loads of detail. Okay, so just, yeah, over the next couple of weeks, what biblical church leadership is, how it's different to worldly leadership, a scriptural view on gender and church leadership, the qualifications, and particularly next week, what practical leadership in our church looks like. Okay, so what is church? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And if you've been to different churches or you've sat with different people from different churches, you might get different views and opinions on this. But ultimately, church is a number of things. So church, the translation of the Greek word, which is ecclesia. Can you say that to the person next to you? Ecclesia. It's used from New Testament times to identify the community of those who believed and followed the teachings of Jesus. Church, ecclesia, that's what they were called. It literally means assemble, congregation, or meeting. And nowhere in the New Testament is the synagogue, the temple, the tabernacle, or any building referred to as church. It always is about the Christians who are gathering. And that should say the people. The people. So that's what church is. What should the church do? Well, in a nutshell, in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, Paul explains to the believers in Corinth, and if you know anything about Corinth, it was a really interesting, ungodly place, that the church is Christ's hands, his feet, the body of Christ. And it's Christ's body to this world, doing the things that Jesus did if he was here physically on the earth. We are Christ's body. And we are to be Christ-like all over the place. It's what we do, it's who we are. So that's what the church is, that's what the church should do. Do what Jesus did if he was here physically. He's obviously here by his spirit. Who does the church belong to? You know, I hear people all the time say, in my church this happens, in my church that happens. And technically, on the one hand, I understand what they're saying. But I just think, as we look at leadership in the church, it's really good to remind ourselves whose church it is. So firstly, the church is God's idea and it belongs to him. It's his church. He claims it. Matthew 16, I will build my church. It's his. We're his. We have to keep forgetting that it's not about a building. It's about a body. Us. We're his. It's his most precious thing, described as his bride. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1, 17 to 18. Jesus is the head of us, his body, his church, the thing he is coming back for. So that's the church in a nutshell. But I wanted just to kind of start there, and because I think it's really important when we're talking about leadership in his church, we understand what it is that we're talking about, how precious his church is to him. So when we talk about biblical leadership in his ecclesia, leading people who are called to do the things that Jesus would do if he were physically here, with his most precious thing, his church, it's really important that we understand that. We understand how Jesus sees his church. So I just want to give you a kind of bit of a whistle-stop tour this morning, partly because of time, but partly because actually lots of you will know this. It's just a reminder to you about what biblical leadership is and where it comes from. So there are a number of models of biblical leadership that we're just going to look at, five of them. Number one, servant leadership. We've just beautifully seen it modeled by Dave and Oliver being out serving the body. And in Matthew 20, 25 to 28, do you remember this story? This is the story of James and John's mother, okay? Some of the mothers are not mentioned that often in the Bible, but actually there's this great story where James and John's mum, you know, could you imagine? Millie gets really embarrassed now when I'm kind of just me doing stuff around her. Could you imagine the embarrassment these guys must have felt when their mum, the mum of these two disciples, came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, do you know when you get to heaven, is it all right if one of my sons sits on your right and the other one sits on your left? Could you imagine their kind of, oh, mum? And off the back of that, Jesus goes into this great kind of piece of prose, really, about, you know what? It's about servanthood. I came to be a servant. That's what we're called to be, to serve, to be the lowest, not the highest, the least, not the greatest. You know, it's such a revolutionary piece for Jesus to bring. We're called to be servants. And it was like, come on. This isn't about elevating yourself. This is about laying yourself low. And one of the things that for me just captivates my heart every time I read the story is the story of where Jesus acted like the lowest servant in the house, who was the servant who washed people's dust off their feet. You know, that ain't a job many people wanted. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus says, actually, we're called to serve, not lord it over. Actually, he says that in this passage. To serve, not lord it over. The second one, delegated leadership. There's a number of passages. You will get some notes, actually, at the end with some of these scriptures on, just so you can take them away and have a look at them. Delegated leadership. The Colossians passage, which is Colossians 1, verse 18. This is a passage about Christ being the head of the church. We've just looked at it. So those in church leadership have been given that leadership. It's been delegated to them. And the authority of Christ, which comes with it. They've been given that authority by the one who is the head of his church. So leadership in his church is delegated by him to those who lead. The fifth one. Leadership is done by those who meet biblical, not worldly qualifications. For lots of you will know that for a long time before we led the church, I was in education. So I was a teacher and then a head teacher, eventually an executive head teacher of a primary school over in Sparkhill in Birmingham. I turned from a boy to a man in those years. 21 years I was there in the same school. I started there. Jill's smiling. Jill knows what it means to be an NQT, a newly qualified teacher somewhere. And I went all the way through the school. And I still am linked to them. I go and visit occasionally. I get phone calls occasionally from the head. So I've experienced leadership done to me, done around me. I've seen some phenomenal leaders, and I've seen some terrible leaders. I've seen people treated phenomenally well, and I've seen people treated phenomenally poorly. And leadership in the world is different to leadership in the church. If I said to most secular leaders of schools around where I was that actually you need to be a servant, you need to be the lowest of the low. Well, you know what? Some of them would receive that, but some of them would just look at me like I was totally mad. Because leadership in the world can be different. But you know what? Increasingly in the business world and other worlds, people are adopting Christian principles. And there's more and more training, actually, in the world about servant leadership. It pops up every so often in books. But actually, mostly, leadership in the world is about lording it over, not serving. So there are some qualifications which we're going to look at shortly. But it's about meeting biblical, not worldly qualifications. I've done loads of qualifications on my journey, you know, but actually it's about what the Bible says about leadership that counts, in my opinion. Okay, the next one, biblical leadership needs to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. There are a number of key kind of verses there which we're not going to just have time to unpack. But again, take them away, have a look at them. They're crucial because without a dependency on the Holy Spirit, what happens is we kind of revert back to what we would do in the natural. So instead of godly leadership, you revert back to worldly leadership. And the last one is authoritative leadership. And I just want to be clear on what this is, because authoritative sometimes can sound negative. But I just want to read you something from Matthew 28. So Jesus told his disciples, go. Go into all the earth, making disciples, etc., etc. There is a command. There is authority. Go. And we go because Jesus told us to go. There's specific teaching about doing the things that our leaders tell us to do. Now, sometimes we don't kind of receive that well, because sometimes we mix worldly leadership with godly leadership. Some of us have been really hurt and really broken and really affected by worldly leadership. And frankly, to be honest, sometimes some of us have been affected by spiritual leadership that hasn't always been what we would have hoped it would be. And I just want to pause at this point, because I think it's really important, actually, that if there's anything that has happened to you on your journey through life where you have been affected by leadership negatively, where someone has said something to you, and that's like a barb that's gone in and stuck, where you were treated in a certain way badly. And like I say, that sadly could have been in the church as well as in the world. I just want to pray, actually, at this point. I wasn't going to, but I just feel it's right to. So can we just pray just for a moment? Father, I just want to pray right now for anyone where this whole topic of leadership brings to the surface again those experiences that are negative. Things were spoken over them, maybe even about their own leadership. Things that were done to them by people who should have known better or done better. Things that were said or not said. Hurtful things that have left a barb in us. Holy Spirit, we just bring them to you now, and not in a light way, not in a flippant way. But Lord, if there is anything in us which rises to the surface when we talk about leadership, Lord, we just give it to you and say, Lord, you have us on a journey. We are yours. We are sheep, and you are the shepherd. Lord, we give you these things. We give you the brokenness or the pain, the disappointment. We give you the place where the enemy has tried to get in and push his thumb down on that pain. Lord, we just give it back to you. And we resolve, Lord, to either deal with it now or to leave it at your feet through a process, because you're just putting your finger on it now, Lord, and we know when you do that, you mean business with us. So, Lord, we just lift that to you now and anyone affected in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus told his disciples and therefore us to go into the whole world. That command to go, that specific teaching about actually Jesus has delegated his authority to those who lead his body. And we don't do this lightly. Maybe I should have read some more of these scriptures before we took on the church. Listen to this. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul. And they are accountable to God." That's not a little thing, is it? That's not a light thing. And for all of us who are leaders, that's what we're called to do. This is his body, his bride. And we lead with his authority. It goes on to say, make our job easy. That's what it says in the Bible. Make our job easy. Make their job easy. Be nice. You know, that's what it goes on to say. Take the scriptures away and have a read of them. I've got a number of titles, biblical titles. And one of the things that we've been doing as a leadership team, actually, is been looking at titles. What do we call those in authority, in leadership, in our church? And what jobs, therefore, do they do? But I'm going to pause there because time has gone. But I just would like us actually to pray. So could we just stand together?